Everyone's asleep.
The music down, but ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. You listen to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, which, in my opinion, and this is the best thing about AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the best thing, and I've been on well over 100 other people's shows on a number of different networks. The best thing that really, really makes AmericanFreedomRadio.com spanking is the clock, right? You know, like 18 minutes, 15 minutes, and 13-minute segments. There's none of this 5-minute and then a right in the middle of a sentence type stuff. Love it, because we can just cut through it and get straight into it. With my very special guest, who's just so raucous, just so fabulous, the indomitable ad hominem man, Christopher Green from GreenWaveRadio.com.
Oh, very
is it just GreenWave.com?
GreenWave.com, and now we just debuted AMTVmedia.com, our brand new networked website. So check it out. And Vinny, it's great to be with you.
Yeah. You know what I like about you, Chris? I like you best when you're extremely angry. And you know what, Chris? I've noticed a change in you. Just today, it's election day. You're probably happening a little bit of something that's happened to me. You get a little bit kind of fed up with it.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
I get fed up, you know, and I'm trying to have a little bit of fun with it, too, because there's a time for anger, and there's a time sometimes to just kind of laugh about it, too. I mean, it's so crazy what's happening in the world today. It is so insane, Vinny, that, yeah, I mean, does it make me want to puke? You know, you were saying that as you opened the show. Yeah, sometimes I do feel like that. I'm going to do it on the air. But we got to get a perspective on this. You know, there is hope. We can change things. I really believe it. I wouldn't do what I do if I didn't believe that. And, you know, the people just need to rally together. We need to take action. We need to change what's happening. And, you know, I really don't even think it's that hard to do it. We just have to change who we are. We got to get the message out. And, you know, it's real simple, Vinny.
Well, you know what? There's no healthy debate in America anymore. You know why? Because people aren't talking about the real issues. And so people come up to us like, right, or at least this has happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you. Well, Vinny, you're not really doing anything. You're just talking about it. They say, that's right. I am just talking about it. Nobody else is. I'm accomplishing something that nobody else is doing in New Zealand, at least. So I am accomplishing something.
Yeah. Well,
the only reason why we talk about them and stuff like that is so we can normalize it and actually make it part of the debate. Then we can actually start solving the problems once it's in the forefront of public consciousness. But that's not really my goal, is to wake up the public or anything like that. I just want all the people who have already woken up, who already know what's going on, that I don't really have to kind of take baby steps with, who are just dealing with this crap that goes through your head, Ben. The fact that we're being harvested like a field of wheat is a harsh reality to deal with, and that's why I try to make people laugh. Sometimes I fail. My jokes are pretty lame.
Well, I was going to say, Vinny, ideas are the most powerful weapon that we have, and that's honestly what the establishment is most afraid of. So, you know, you can't help but kind of laugh when people say all you're doing is talking about it. Well, it's the most powerful thing you can do.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why it's the First Amendment, because it's the most powerful thing. And if you can curtail people's ability to speak, you really ain't got no power after that.
Well, ideas provoke action, too. Ideas provoke change. That's why the establishment is afraid of it. That's why the establishment controls the media. That's why they influence public opinion. I mean, if it wasn't something that they were concerned with, the infrastructure they built wouldn't even exist. But this is all about keeping the people enslaved. It's a pretty genius form of slavery, because it used to be, you know, thousands of years ago, if you were an indentured servant or you were a slave, I mean, it was physical slavery. It was a little bit more obvious. But today people are like, oh, I'm not a slave. You know, hey, I live in suburbia. I live paycheck to paycheck, and I have no future, and I'm in massive amounts of debt. But, hey, wait a minute. I am a slave.
It's kind of like a worldview change of that, isn't it?
You've got to wonder. It's a worldview change. And you know what? That's why I think what's happened, honestly, and this has been going on, you know, for decades. You know, we're not the only people awake, but we've seen it a lot more that, you know, in recent years. A lot of this really is a blessing in disguise. I mean, it's woken a lot of people up, shaking them to the core. You know, they think everything's a gravy train and that, you know, everything's a bubble. Everything's just going to keep compounding into infinity. You know, the American dream, when, you know, there's never a trough, nothing ever goes wrong, just let's keep upgrading. You know, every time my house doubles, I'm just going to refinance out and buy a couple more Escalades and, you know, finance whatever. You know, this all caught up to us, and now we're having to face reality. It's just like going out, drinking yourself into oblivion with your friends, getting super drunk and waking up with a massive hangover. But the difference is the federal government woke up with a massive hangover, totally screwed things up, and then they said, you know what, shit, we don't want to face the hangover. How about another shot? In fact, you know, and let's take some ecstasy, and, you know, let's take a, you know, let's smoke some crack while we're at it as well. Now, we don't want to hang over. We don't want to face any reality. So, you know, what's happened is a blessing in disguise, because it's shaken people to the core. They understand that everything was built on a foundation of sand. They've got a better idea now of how they were manipulated, how they were sold by the big banks. They were sold these ideas. Bigger is better. In fact, we've seen a huge change in this. I mean, even with square footage of homes now, you know, people, it was always bigger, better. I got it, you know, with 3,000, 4,000, 5, 8, 10,000 square foot homes. I mean, these are all over Scottsdale. And that was the vogue thing to be, you know, look at how massive my home is, you know, and their, you know, electric bills are through the roof. Now it's kind of on the, you know, it's flipped over to the other side of the spectrum. People are like, oh, you know, we're smaller's better and efficient's better. And it's just, we're coming back to planet Earth here. I had a gal send me an email. I'm, you know, and I know you get tons of emails too, Benny, but she was like, look, I just got out of college. I've got a massive amount of student loan debt. I can't pay. I can't afford it. I'm falling behind. It's just compounding on itself. You know, I feel hopeless. Now my parents are helping me out. Now I feel guilty. And the thing I was trying to tell her is, look, things have changed. This isn't the gravy train, bubblicious world where, you know, you got out of college and you're going to make $150,000 plus guaranteed. And when you buy your first home, it's going to triple in 2 years. We don't live in that world anymore. It's all the house of cards has come crashing down, and it's come crashing down for a reason. The establishment's just buying themselves more time so they can transfer the wealth, much of which they've already done, stolen it from the people. And, you know, it's no different than just being bent over and screwed, Vinny. And we've been taking it from behind.
Well, you imagine the pain and trauma
when you suddenly recognize that your entire life has been spent in preparation for a world that no longer exists.
That's a shock to most people, that's for sure. It's shocking. And it turns your world upside down, and it's frightening. People, a lot of people, most people, they fear change, especially violent change. So for your paradigm to be, your entire world to be shaken to the core, I mean, that's very scary. That's a scary process to go through. But would you rather know the truth, Vinny? Would you rather have a better understanding of the world around you, and more importantly, who you are, and you know, what you want to contribute to the world, who you want to affect, what kind of change you want to provoke? You know, those are the things, you know, you were talking earlier, you know, you get people that are like, keep up the good work, Vinny. And, you know, sometimes it's frustrating because like, well, hey, we need your help, you know, like help us, you know. You know, we talk about that all the time. I mean, look, this is as grassroots as it gets. I mean, you're probably...
Yeah. And here's the thing. Don't run it by us that you want to help us. Just help us. Because it actually takes time to, you know, like come up with a list of things I can help you on. Well, it's just like, well, a lot of the things are pretty obvious, you know. We need to be out there more. We need links shared. We need people to be told about the show. We need people protesting and doing videos. We need people exposing scumbaggery, you know. Everything that we do every day, just take it and apply it to yourself and see if you can do it. That's all that helping this is really about, doing it yourself.
We talked about, you know, Nike, they're famous for their just do it slogan. Well, we need a just did it slogan. We're not thinking about it. We're not going to do it. We just did it. You know, I mean, that's honestly, that's the kind of approach that we all need to take. And, you know, I view it as an opportunity, too. As angry as I do get on a regular basis, and, you know, I want to show people, you know, how wrong things really are, how they're getting screwed over, how the establishment is manipulating them, it's also an incredible opportunity for change. And actually, what really, I guess the reason behind a lot of the anger, too, even with myself at times, is I want to make sure we take advantage of this opportunity and don't lose it. I mean, you only get an opportunity like this sometimes once in a lifetime, and I kind of feel like this is ours. We better take advantage of it because it's going to be gone if we don't act, and we need to act right now.
Exactly. You're, I was going to make some kind of a perverse joke about your life being like a 16-year-old girl who's drunk at a party. You know, you've got to take advantage of it. But I was also thinking about I didn't mean that, by the way, and that's disgusting, and I'm sorry. That's why I was iffy about whether or not I said it, but I said it anyway. You know, I'm talking about the Nike symbol. Well, what if, you know how the Nike symbol is kind of like on a flat and it's got kind of like the tick end on one and it's kind of skinny at the other? Well, what if you kind of inverted it and you turned it upside down so the fat end is down the bottom and the tip is up the end and it just says, doing it.
That's cool, too. I like did it, doing it. I mean, yeah, the fact that, you know, you've got it done. You're not waiting on anything. You're not thinking about anything. And, you know, that's the opportunity I think America's presented with, but it's not American-centric. And because I realize people hate that. They're like, you know, you Americans, you guys are so arrogant. And there is an arrogance here. There absolutely is. And it's because people feel entitled. I mean, they do. Let's just be honest. People feel entitled here because, like, look, you know, we've been the greatest country on the planet for, I guess it hasn't been that long, but a few hundred years we've managed to screw it up. And now we're in shambles, but we still don't want to let go of the entitlements. Like, we're still the greatest country, baby. Everything's burning around us and, you know, people are marching in the streets. So, you know, I'm not saying, you know, look, let's just, you know, obviously, I'm not. People accuse me of like, well, that sounds New World Order-ish of you, Christopher, to say that the globe's all interrelated and that we're just all humanity and people. Like, I'm not saying, like, let's go and full force and allow the tyranny to take us over. No, I'm asking people to view each other as their brother. View the world and other people as your brother or your sister or a family member. I mean, you're really looking at yourself. And, you know, we need to treat people better, too. And I realize the world isn't a perfect place. I realize that there's danger. I realize that there's threats. I realize all that. But, you know, we keep perpetrating a lot of this violence. which I think a lot of Americans, a lot of people around the world have a problem with, especially when we're taken out. And I really think this is the case. I know this is the case. I mean, America is honestly at war right now, and we are helping to propel even more war because we are in shambles and we've screwed everything up so badly. Now we're going to use our military might. Now it's like, okay, well, all options are off the table. Get ready to get bombed as a last resort. And that's honestly the thought process. So it's wrong. I mean, it's just flat out wrong. I don't know how people can support that. But the thing is, they manipulate and position the way these things happen. We talk about this all the time. We'll make it look like self-defense. Like, oh, shit, you know, we got to go nuke half the Middle East now because they blew up 15 buildings. You know, and then it's self-defense and they're all Americans. You know, we have our flags out like post-September 11th. Like, you know, kill everybody. We want vengeance. We want revenge. You're just playing into it. So, you know, have a broader perspective of what's really happening. Understand you can't hide the truth anymore. That's the thing. You can't hide it. Just investigate. It's out there. You know, we've got the technology. And you know what? Hold these people accountable for what's happening. We need people with a moral compass guiding us. And I realize nobody's perfect, but, you know, does morality exist in Washington today? I don't think so.
Well, the point is we do need a moral compass guiding us, but we don't need somebody who has the moral compass to guide us. We all need a compass. We can find our own way and not get lost along it. And that's what I found about careers and everything else is you just get so badly sabotaged, particularly if you're brilliant. The workplace is simply not for you. You need to create your own environment somewhere where you can actually feel comfortable and so your creativity and your energy can flow, where ideas can actually be thought up, ratcheted together, applied, and then produced, rather than what normally happens in a corporate environment where your ideas will be produced by you, stolen by your employer, and all the profits and proceeds go to him. That's what working really is at the end of the day. Working so hard so your boss can get really rich and the rest of your money gets taken away through taxation. We've got a caller on the line, Chris from Louisiana. I apologize, mate. We're coming to break. We'll take your call after it. I'll give you 5-10 minutes if you want, if you really want to go for it, though. But yeah, caller number 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. Call in after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, ooh yeah! You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show, where we dance the Iraq lobster on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I was just thinking about this. We'll go to our caller, Chris from Louisiana, in just a second. You know how you were talking about how people should be kind of, you know, getting their businesses all underway, but there's this kind of agenda to destroy us from every way? And I was just thinking about that movie Thrive by Foster Gamble, and I was just thinking about doing a spoof of it and calling it Dive by Foster Shambles. You know, everybody taking a dive. All the shambolic nature of this society has been fostered relatively lusciously and intensely, I think. Chris from Louisiana, you're on the air. So we've got Chris Green and Chris in Louisiana. That'd be nice.
Hey, guys. Funny that you brought that up about Thrive, because I heard your show with him, and he talked about the gentleman that tinkered with the device and got in trouble with Homeland Security. I was wondering if you heard any more about that situation.
And I haven't heard back from Foster. I got your email on that, and I sent Foster a Skype message. He usually takes a couple of days to reply, but at the moment he's on a speaking tour in Australia. So I honestly don't know. Have you been to his website?
I have not.
See, a little bit of investigation would be good.
Before
perhaps sending me an email, you know what I'm saying, bro? Take some personal responsibility. I don't want to be mean to you or anything. But yeah.
My ear is glued to this station and as many other truth stations and speakers. Two of them that I can throw out at you, I know you know, but Santos Bonacci and David Icke. What are you guys' thoughts on those two gentlemen?
Had them both on the show. Love the gentlemen. Have both incredible information and what have you. But like all information, it's just information. If you want to live your life by it, you best be doing a heck of a lot more investigation than just listening to one or two guys about it. And you best be reading some books and watching many, many documentaries so you get a holistic perspective about things. And that's invariably, in fact, what David and Santos encourage. And in essence, when they're talking to you and explaining things, that's what they do. They pull in lots and lots of different pieces of research from across the spectrum to kind of explain what they're telling you. Makes it clearer. What about you, Chris? Have you heard of Santos Bonacci or the David Icke?
Well, I've heard of David Icke, and, you know, honestly, yeah, I was kind of not really jumping in a whole lot. I've never spoken with those guys before, so I can't really say a whole heck of a lot, but anybody that's getting a message of truth out is a friend of mine, so definitely like to get those people on soon, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll hook that Shiite Muslim up, bro.
Appreciate that, Vinny. That'd be great.
Send you David and Santos's email addresses so you can invite them on. But yeah. Of course,
something interesting, you know, you were talking about before the break, you're talking about, you know, people go to work, they're working for the man, you know, they're working for the boss. You know, it's not that it's not that every boss is bad or anything like that, or, you know, helping a company or organization is wrong or anything like that. But what we see, and I know you've seen this too, you see it in corporate America, it's even the managers, they're just kind of milking the system at the company, especially the big, big companies. They're just kind of milking it, trying to make as much money as they can, and not really doing a whole lot. I mean, you see this at the biggest companies. And I saw a lot of this, especially when Bank of America came in and swallowed Merrill Lynch. You know, Merrill Lynch is a pretty big company. When Bank of America came in, it was like, you know, the Titanic, you know, had rowed in or something. Obviously, they didn't row in, but they, you know, they came in and take over. But yeah, there's so much inefficiency with the big, big corporations, the big, big banks a lot of the times. And we see the same thing with big, big government. Bigger isn't necessarily better. And you know, we need to get away from that in a lot of respect. You know, the fact that they sold us the idea that, oh, we got to save these guys. We got to save them or the world's going to come. No, the world's not going to come to an end. It might come to an end for the people that drove the Titanic into the iceberg. They should be responsible for that. You know, the little guy is. You and I start a business. We make bad decisions. We go bankrupt. Nobody's like, oh, you know, we should really give, you know, Vinny and Chris Green, let's just cut them a check for $10 million because they made a mistake, you know? Here you go, Vinny. Here's five. Here's five, Chris. Go on your merry way. You know, and that's why I honestly get so angry because Mitt Romney will call himself a capitalist and be, well, you know, there's certain special situations when we need to bail out certain company. You know, it's like I want to give the two-word expletive to that. I do give it to that, but we'll, you know, keep it family-friendly. But it's like, you know what? You say frack you, you know?
Well, yeah, and also, you know, the BS word that you can't say on radio. I've come up with another perfect word replacement for that as well. Bolshevik. You know? Have you noticed how much Bolshevik they're just spreading out all over the news these days? Doesn't it? And how, like, the debates. Oh, I love the debates. These are important questions about Libya, about the drug war, and blah, blah, blah. And no important answers are given. Hold on. How is this an important debate? Oh, wait. Hold on a second. That's right. New York Times used to be written for a 17th grade level, and now it's written for, like, a 4th grade level. People ain't bright enough to realize they're being frickin' scammed in general. There's a couple of percent of the population, like 4% of the population, that even contribute to political campaigns in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the amount of people who are actually going to be needed in order to make all this change, because they've still got the ability to think, apparently. Even if they're wrong at the moment, they might be able to get informed. If And here's another thing. Drop in the ocean, right? Like, I was looking at my website rankings, and it's like 638,000th in the world or something like that. So there's nearly 750,000 websites in the world that are bigger than mine. So I'm infinitesimal. Or I'm bigger than some, but still, at the end of the day, it's a drop in a bucket, isn't it? I'm not on everybody's, on the tip of everybody's tongue. I'm not being wet-willied into everybody's earlobes at this particular time frame of the night, am I? No. But doesn't mean, because I'm not going to accomplish it all on my own, that I shouldn't just keep doing everything about it every single day. And you'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a job where you're actually building and creating something, and you finish building and finish creating a new thing every single day, by the end of a week, a month, a year, you'll realize that you've accomplished an extraordinarily large amount. The difficulty is that's not what the economy does. That's what I do on this radio show. We're producing radio shows like, I think I've got like 14 hours of radio to do in this day and the next two alone. And that's just radio. That doesn't include anything else that might pop up. But when you have that kind of track record, when you've got something cred, it makes you feel good about yourself. The problem is most jobs nowadays aren't about creating anything. They're about selling stuff that other people have created. And what have you wound up with that? A little bit of money that disappears once you pay your rent? You know, you've got nothing to show for it. And I think that's why so many people are getting depressed and going on meds, is because they're not doing what their potential allows them to, and their body tells them, dude, this situation sucks. And so you start feeling bad about yourself. You start medicating with whatever alcohol or drugs or psychotherapy that you can find, instead of thinking, you know what, this situation is the thing that's making me really crappy. I should change it.
Yeah, well, it's amazing we let people get away with this stuff because, I mean, look at Wall Street. I mean, you literally have one Wall Street banker. He's like, hey, check this out, Bob. I created this thing. It's called a structured note. And they're like, what's a structured note? And he's like, I don't know, but we just built it out of thin air. Here it is. You want to buy it? And the guy's like, yeah, sure. Can we make a profit out of this? And they just trade it back and forth, and it's created out of thin air, and they make millions of dollars. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're really smart. What value came out of that, Vinny? I mean, the entire derivatives market that exists, a multi-trillion dollar market, has been created out of thin air, and it has no intrinsic inherent value. Fake structured instruments trading back and forth to make a couple bankers richer, you know, so he can copter out to the Hamptons. I mean, he's already got a house out there, but, you know, he needs to upgrade to 10 to 15,000 square feet and, you know, I don't know, buy his mistress a new car or something.
Well, I don't know. It reminds me of one of those children's hand clap games, but except every time their hands clap, money comes out of them, you know. I trade in derivatives. All the people will be my slaves. If they rise up, I'll take their jobs. This makes the world all okay. And all the money comes out.
It reminds me of that too, Vinny. It's pretty crazy, honestly. And people just don't even understand to a great extent. I mean, especially the capital markets. And, you know, I just go back to derivatives again. That I don't even understand it entirely. And I study this stuff for a living. You know, I finance background and years of experience. I actually worked for a Wall Street bank. I have a grasp, a very good grasp, obviously, a lot of these concepts. But the derivatives market, I can barely come to terms with it. I mean, it is a joke what these people have built. It's a huge risk to the entire. I mean, that's why we had days. And I was, you know, I was working as a Wall Street broker at the time when the flash crash happened. I mean, literally, we went out to lunch. I came back because we were like, oh, okay, the markets are down 300 points. This is a pretty big day. we sit down in front of about, you know, four or five monitors. I got a buddy overlooking my shoulder. I'm on the phone with the client. We're like 400 down, 500 down, 600 down. Expletives start going off. 1,000 points down. I mean, it was like literally we were watching a systemic collapse occur live. And, you know, you talk to all these smart people. It's like, hey, what caused that? They're like, I don't know. So why won't that happen again? Well, you know, we don't think it will. We've got it all under control. You mean like you just had it under control in 2008? And you just had it under control now, the May 6th flash crash? I mean, it was insane, Vinny. This shit is insane. And there's got to be regulation. Derivatives market, by the way, not regulated at all. No regulation. And more
not even by the State Gaming Commission of New York, who actually started learning about this and said, hey, this is gambling. We have to have a cut here. And they said, no, unregulated.
Yeah.
Hey, and speaking of flash crash, I was just thinking, man, I want to get myself one of those old cardigans from the 80s or something like that that holds off your shoulder, that you know, kind of comes off your shoulder like that sort of thing, like a flash dance, and just have flash crash on the front of it. Yeah. What a feeling! Da, da, da. We hit the ceiling! Da, 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 da. And the derivatives crash and it'll destroy your ass and it will! You know?
You know what we need, Vinny? And it just, that little diatribe just kind of reminded me. We need sound effects and stuff. You know, we got to be able to add, you know, a little bit more gamesmanship to the production. I mean, you hear all the other, you know, I don't know how we do it. We need to figure that out. You know, how do
Pete
we add?
Santilli. Pete Santilli knows how to do it, bro. He's got them all over the place. Derivatives. You know, it's brilliant. I've got to ask that homeboy of mine, bro, how the hell do you do that stuff? Hook us up, yo.
Yeah, I mean, think about even the show that we've been doing. There's all these snippets we could just take out of the audio. And then, you know, get them, you know, have them recorded, cut them, and then just have them ready to deploy at a moment's notice. I could play that song, you know, be kind of cool.
At a moment's notice. And this is actually something that occurs to me. Guerrilla warfare, bro. Okay. If you're the one who's small, you're actually mobile and you can do an awful lot of things that would take the big guys ages to even start moving.
Well, dude, look at terrorism, right? Look at, we all have our viewpoints on Al-Qaeda and all that, but just look at the terrorist, look at how they operate. They're small, nimble, but they kick you right in the balls where it hurts. And when you cut the head off the dragon, you kill Osama bin Laden. I don't even think that guy existed. I think it's probably just a fabrication like Donald Duck or Santa Claus, but a new head just grows out of the old. I mean, literally, it's a very efficient, decentralized network of terror. The little guy can have a tremendous effect. I mean, just think about it. It's kind of crazy. I know it sounds perverse, but hey, take some notes from the terrorists. They do a pretty good job of affecting, it's not, not good change, obviously. It's terrorism, but you know, we can take some notes, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. Are you talking about the terrorists in the government or the terrorists that the government made up?
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, that's why. We what you have to do is just kind of pretend that, you know, just look at terrorists and look how they operate. Yeah, I know we can get into all of that.
No, but the methodology stays the same because the CIA created the Al-Qaeda. It actually means the database, and they trained all these people. They gave them Stinger missiles, and they took out the entire Russian army in Afghanistan. Well, not the entire Russian army, but they gave them enough of a fight that they decided it wasn't fucking worth it, and they got the heck out of there. Intelligence works. We'll be right back.
People, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you saving. Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are changing.
Welcome back, everybody. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And before my show on, I think it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can catch Christopher Green's 2 hours of hard-hitting, in-your-face-like-a-fist radio back chat. Oh, my God, it's so good.
Yeah, it's total Mad Max mayhem. I mean, it's hardcore, Vinny.
Do you have a little dog, too?
I've got a few dogs, actually. Yeah, you know, we're animal lovers, Vinny. You know, they say a dog is a man's best friend. And, yeah, I just kind of went with that, accumulated a few of them.
All right. I'm going to think about this. Casper Leach from Time for Hemp has just started up a new show as well called Time for Pets. And he's got a few dogs and stuff like that. And, I don't know, the position that I'm in, I don't have any pets. Chickens are my favorite. I love chickens, man. They're such characters. They're scratching around, dust bathing, laying eggs. And I've got this theory that chickens are nature's conspiracy theorists. Like with the little head, like with the little head movements, they always look around like real paranoid and stuff like that. You know, peck peck peck. What was that? Peck peck peck. What was that? You know, that's the kind of thing, the way chickens are, and I kind of feel this affinity with them. But moving on, I was thinking about this as well. Urban farming. Have you heard of this? They've got these skyscrapers, right, where they're going to turn them into little farms and stuff. I thought that would be a pretty cool idea. But the problem is, these big farms and these skyscrapers or whatever that they're planning ain't going to be really growing in terribly good food, I don't think. I don't think they're going to be terribly nutritious, and I think that they're probably going to be controlled and owned by big, major, mega-death cartel corporations just so that they can control the food in the cities as well as the rural areas, which are kicking people off by increasing their rates. You know, in fact, here's another thing, Chris. There's a whole bunch of people living out in rural areas or not in the deep cities and stuff like that. After these amalgamations of local councils and making these big super cities, you know, it reminds me of Judge Dredd, like Mega City. And sure enough, just like a Judge Dredd, they start increasing the taxation on everybody. My mate, he lives by himself, has like one or two light bulbs in the house, and he gets a $200 power bill.
Jeez, yeah. Yeah, you should see what we get out here in Arizona. I mean, you can easily, especially in the summers, because you run on the AC and it's hot, and you could have a small place, man. It's going to be $400 or $500 a month. I mean, we get a couple of months where it's, like, pretty insane. So we got to deal with the heat, but it's, you know, a lot easier than dealing with shoveling snow. So I'd much rather be out in the heat. I love the sun, too. You know, I lived in D.C. for a few years. It was tough not getting that sun. You know, it just kind of got depressing, you know, at times. So vitamin D, you know, it's a natural thing that all people need. People got to remind themselves of that, too, is that. And I really like you're talking about construction, too, and buildings. We got a lot of green buildings actually out here in Arizona. I don't know if they're growing crops or, you know, gardens or anything like that, but they've got these kind of, yeah, you know, these new age patios where, you know, you're on the 10th floor, you go out and it's got like a yard and you can actually have a dog and there's grass and there's, you know, all these potted plants and all this stuff. It's kind of cool. The only problem with it is most of those types of places are very expensive. They're not really built for the average John and Jane, but cool concept.
Well, here's the other thing. We're coming into financial collapse mode now, right? And during the last depression in the United States, 10 million people starved to death. And that was in a time when 90% of people were living in rural areas growing their own food. Now we've got 90% of people living in cities, not growing their own food. It reports out from Staten Island after this big old hurricane blew through. You got people eating out of dumpsters because there ain't no food and there ain't no way off the island. We've become totally dependent.
Well, there's a lot, you know, a lot of dependence, and that's a part of how they've organized, again, the structure. Keep you dependent. I mean, The government wants you to need them. If you didn't need the government, we wouldn't need a government. And, you know, so it's built that way. That's why there's a cycle of debt. That's why there's the cycle of dependency. And, you know, keep you just happy enough, give you just enough so you don't revolt. And, you know, try to keep you so busy you can't question anything.
Ooh, the slaves are revolting.
It has to be kind of scary from their perspective if you think about it, you know.
Well, that's why they don't want people to rise up. I'm really sick of people saying, oh, there's going to be civil war, there's going to be a race war, there's going to be this war or whatever. What they're doing is just hyping up this this whole war concept constantly. This is my take on it anyway. Right now, you've got a battle between left versus right and black versus white in the presidential race. And somebody's saying, oh, it's going to be a race war if Obama wins or if a Romney wins, and it's going to be a civil war if Obama wins or if Romney wins or something like that, or there's going to be a war with Iran or the war. I think what they're doing is they're just putting all this stuff in front of you to make you really, really frightened so that you'll stop thinking, because people, when they're scared, click off their cognitive function and they go into fight or flight. And you know what I reckon? I agree with Lindsay Williams. The American people aren't going to rise up. They're going to belly up. You know, if people were going to rise up, everywhere you went, everywhere you walked, there'd be people waving 9/11 was an inside job banners, or Monsanto are a bunch of scumbag banners, or the End the Fed banners or something like that. When was the last time you drove around and saw one of those, Chris?
Well, honestly, not really that recently. Especially since, you know, kind of the whole Ron Paul thing unraveled, you know, it just, you know, the movement in a certain respect, I mean, I saw this coming. I think a lot of people did, but it really fragmented. So I'll see it from time to time, but that's kind of the sad part about this election. It's almost kind of like, you know, a lot of liberty lovers are just like, damn, you know, like, I guess nothing changed, you know, it's sad. It's kind of depressing, but I don't know, Vinny. You gotta remain, you know, I'm not saying you're not, but you gotta remain positive, you gotta remain hopeful, and you gotta believe that good things can happen. And anything is possible. Anything. It's happened before in history. People say one person can't make a difference. Well, most of the impactful things that have happened in history, a lot of the times, started with one person. So you can make a difference, and we can all do it together. You know, it sounds a little hokey, sounds a little
No, you're right,
fire,
Chris.
But it's
you're
true.
Right, because even if the American people, quote-unquote, go belly up, there'll still be a few real Americans who would rise up. So it wouldn't be a civil war, it'd be a guerrilla war. And you need 10 times as many soldiers in order to fight against a guerrilla force of any size. And you're talking about a guerrilla force that would includes, I think, 30 million gun owners who are crack shots. One sniper can destroy any troop movement kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You can pin them down for enormous amounts of time. One guy with a rifle can mess off a whole platoon by himself and antagonize them, make them all really afraid of each other, this kind of thing. That's why the New World Order aren't actually stoking for civil war, as some people have suggested. They're stoking for a very, very slow, gradual increase of the boiling temperature, so that by the time anybody starts really going out and trying to take on the New World Order in a Shiite Muslim fight, as it were, with guns and blood in the streets and stuff like that, they would have already taken all your guns. They would have already brainwashed your children for an entire generation to think that guns are evil and anybody who talks about freedom is a terrorist. We're not at that stage yet. So we've got now a very long period of time, I think, maybe even up until 2050, to turn this around. I've come to the conclusion that I'll still be doing this and talking about all this kind of stuff when I don't have hair color anymore, when I'm gray. Which will probably be in about 20 minutes, considering the stress.
I think there is an acceleration in the aging process with our line of work. I don't know if you've noticed that at all, but I mean, honestly, it's almost kind of like living hard. But it's interesting, you know, you mentioned, terrorists, you said that, the regime, they thought and they called the founding fathers of our country terrorists, but they're heroes to the American people. So, I don't know, Vinny, anything's possible. We've seen it before in history. And, we as people, we've got to remain hopeful. We can never lose sight of that. And we can't lose sight of the power that we do have. We are powerful. And that is what people, if they don't already realize it, need to come to understand. Take the power away from them, empower yourself. That's really what they're afraid of. And that starts with ideas. So when people say, hey, Vinny, what are you doing, buddy? Hey, Chris Green, what are you doing? You're just talking about these issues. Well, you know what? We need to hold ourselves accountable. We got to take it to the streets as well. We got to take it to the physical world. I think we do that. I'd like to do more of that. But ideas, it's the most powerful weapon we got.
And nothing can stop an idea whose time has come, allegedly. And the Revolutionary War was only really fought by about 3% of the U.S. population. Keen to kill, keen to survive, keen to protect their families, and they just beat the biggest military on the face of the earth in a relatively short succession where nobody else had even the concept of how to do such a thing. And it triggered so many other uprisings and revolutions and fostered things like even Haiti. Haiti was the world's second republic, indeed fostered by Americans as well as in some cases and inspired by the original American Revolution. So be the example you want to see, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Now, I've no idea what I'm going to be doing for this hour, so we're going to take some callers. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Would really love you to call in right now and tell us what's happening in this crappy distraction, completely irrelevant election that seems to suck all the lifeblood out of everybody's freaking brain cells like there is no tomorrow. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I am so upset. And this happens to me during the New Zealand elections as well. The only time when you can watch or participate in any part of the election and feel in any way good about it is if you're watching the third party debates. And then once you watch the third party debate, you're like, yeah, I heard some truth and it was fantastic and they actually were talking about the real issues and they might actually change something. But then you realize you were one of the few people that would ever see them at all. And there's like no hope. That's what the elections are, really, is a hopeless endeavor with no purpose, no reason, no reality, no concern. These people are just polished. You know the old saying that you can't polish a turd? Well, somehow they figured out a way. And they put these pieces of crap in front of us like they can save us, like they can solve any problems, like their last position in a financial institution that went bust or their last job as somebody who sold you a trade deal that destroyed your manufacturing base somehow equips them with the tools to solve your country's problems. Those questions are not asked. Watching the mainstream media during an election season, it's trauma-based mind control. That's what it feels like to me. As if every word out of the mouths of these vitriolic vampires, each individually are a smart missile of lies designed to penetrate your analytical, intellectual radar and fly underneath it so that it can stab you right in the heart. It's like a smart, it's like being hit with a Tomahawk missile every second. It makes me feel like I'm frickin' Baghdad being bombed with lies and deceit. These people. I know I'm preaching to the converted here and everybody knows what kind of scum they are. But just try and kind of put yourself in the mindset of one of these people who's out there waving an Obama sign. You imagine what's going through their minds. And the answer is not a lot. And they like it that way. You know, see people having the signs for Romney. But it's kind of like watching pro wrestling. Like, wrestling's freaking real in terms of the damage that gets done to you, in terms of the physical condition the athletes have to be in. But there's been allegations that the outcome is rigged. But it's show and spectacle. First of all, like Jesse Ventura, former wrestler and then went into politics. How do you think he was able to do that? He's up in front of his opponents before a wrestling match. I'm going to beat the crap out of you. There will be no place you can hide. I will smack you in the back of the head with a chair. I will throw down from the tippy top of the cage. I will body slam you so hard that when you awake, you will speak Japanese in three different dialects from the Okinawa Islands. And it's show. It's spectacle. It's fanfare. You see those crowds of people waving their little flags as a big group, as if somehow being with a group of people who are just as unthinking as you makes you correct. Does anybody else feel this sensation of loss? I've not been on the earth too many years, and yet still I feel the loss. I feel as though intelligent people have become more and more shifted aside into the background, away from the headlines, away from the spotlights. Those are the people that we used to look up to, the people who used to teach us things that really mattered. And gradually, the ones who were famous die off, and they are simply not replaced. There is no new spotlight for comedy like George Carlin or Bill Hicks. These people who talk about the real rulers of society. There has been no replacement for those type of icons. And I believe that it's being done on purpose. I can't prove it, of course. But you just think about the mentality. Why would you wish somebody who is exposing you, the elite, to rise to superstardom and have access to many, many more minds and pairs of ears so that their ideas might fester a bubbling revolution upon this house of cards that they've built? Why would they allow that to happen? They wouldn't. The only way to do it is pretty much all by yourself. You have to build your platform in order to maintain it. You take somebody like Tila Tequila, for example, poster girl for Playboy, first Asian poster girl they've ever had. And when she started coming out and talking about the Illuminati and the satanic rituals in Hollywood, of which she was a part, and seen it, and everybody knows about it apparently, she loses all of that mainstream support. However, she didn't just get there by somebody else handing it to her. She was the number one personality in MySpace history all by herself. So when she continues to expose the Illuminati, she still has an audience. And that's what the fame kind of monster is really about. You want people to support you for you. Kind of like, you know how you have a friend who is your friend for you, and they understand you, and they're behind you, and they support you? That's what a fan should be. And I heard somebody, they said they don't like the idea of fans. Well, look at it this way. I understand that mentality, but let's face facts here. We look up to leaders. We learn from people who are better than ourselves, who have done more than ours, so that we can gain from their collected experience. This is the reason why I believe the youth and the elders in our society have become so distanced as well. If you distance yourself from the other generations, you distance yourself from history, and not only do you forget what happened, you forget where you come from, and so hence you forget who you are, and then the door is now wide open for somebody else to tell you who you are, to tell you the way the world is. If you got no knowledge of history or yourself, you easy prey. And that's what all these Obama supporters and Romney supporters and anybody who actually looks up to the political system as it exists in the mainstream view, as if it in some way can change anything, is delusional. It's just a delusion is believing in something contrary to all accosting evidence. Okay, so let's say, for example, you wanted to change the presidency. Okay, you wanted change. You didn't want the military-industrial complex. You wanted to end the foreign wars. You wanted to stop lobbying in Wall Street and Washington, D.C., and you also wanted to bring the economy back under control and bring new green technology so that people can make money in the continental U.S. and create more jobs, and everything should be honky-dory, and, of course, reduce the amount of tax to all the people and supply them with some decent healthcare and a decent education that actually makes a difference and takes the country an entirely new direction to the one it had been heading. Does that sound familiar? Well, yeah, it's like everything Barack Obama promised. Name me one thing that he said when he came to such fanfare with 2 million people on the mile that has come true. Nothing. These are empty shells of men who will tell you anything you want to hear, so that they can take everything that you have, including your hope, your dreams, anything. They don't want you to have a thing. They don't want you to have job security, independence, or critical thought. These are things that allow you to have freedom. And sure enough, in every single way, our freedoms are under attack. In every single nation of this earth, we are under attack by the precise same agenda. That's how you know it's a conspiracy. If it wasn't a conspiracy, some details would change. Different things would happen. But nothing changes. And the exact same thing keeps happening. How can you deny this reality? Here's how. Cognitive dissonance works like this. You have an idea in your mind's eye of who you are and how the world is. You've grown accustomed to that idea over about 20 or 30 or 40, 50, 60 years. And now one person tells you that the entirety of your existence has been a complete and total sham. And so all those comfort levels that have been built around you for such a period of time suddenly collapse. And you lose yourself. You fly off the handle. You accuse them of things. You insult them. You may even hit them. You might even ostracize them and never see them or talk to them again. Even if they're your brother or your sister or your mother. That's cognitive dissonance. It is a attack the messenger psychological condition, for lack of a better term. And we've all been through it. I once screamed at my sister and called her a slave because she didn't want to hear about the fact that the bread that she was eating has the flour bleached while she was pregnant and I was trying to warn her. And instead of going, okay, that's right, you don't want to know, she actually said, I was perfectly happy living in my cushioned bubble of ignorance. She literally said that. So incensed was I that I lost myself because my entire worldview was totally against ignorance. All kinds. Ignorance of how I truly feel inside or how other people truly think. All of this ignorance needs to be washed away. It's been blocking the ocean of knowledge from coming in shore for so long that all the beaches of loving and caring have simply grown stagnant, crawling with stinking mud crabs and rotting organic matter from shellfish that had nothing to eat. We're turning this world into a freaking wasteland. It's not the people that are walking the streets, holding up the signs that saying it's the end of the freaking world that are nuts. It's the people that walk right by them, staring at their shoes, as if nothing's going on at all. Those are the crazy ones. Those are the ones that are out of touch with reality. And it doesn't mean that it's their fault. People don't naturally act like that. It's like a petri dish. There are ways to help people come to their own conclusions and change their own activities, but there is no way to force people to doing it without using physical force. Okay? It's just as simple as that. If you want to control people's minds, the easiest way to do it is persuasion. Yelling and screaming, trying to force people when you don't have a weapon to back it up, on the other hand, simply makes them resist you and cling very tightly to these previously held beliefs as if they are the only thing holding their world together and you are the one trying to tear it apart. See what I'm saying? If you're telling somebody about the real people who are destroying the world, you're actually the one destroying their world and they hate you for it. I cannot tell you the innumerable threats, insults, ad hominem attacks, mindless brain spasms of rage that come at you if you step out into the light like I have and said, do what you like. I'm going to tell the truth. Regardless of where the chips may fall, I care not about your comfort level. I'll be accommodating as I can, but the truth is the truth is the truth. And it's better to tell the truth that will hurt and heal than to tell the lie that will comfort and kill. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can call us in 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. Or you can join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and also the Green Wave Radio people are checking it out too. We'll be right back. financial products and spraying them all over the land and petrifying them with pesticides. La, 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 la. Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, the show that's all about looking on the lighter side of genocide. I may be sounding a bit serious, but I really do want to laugh about things. But an election situation, it's just not funny anymore. I see somebody voting for a person who is a known liar. That's not funny. When I see troops going over to seas to die or get injured or suffer post-traumatic stress disorder and come back to find fictitious reputes against their character by the people they had served, calling them psychopaths or child molesters or something like that, so they can't get a job and they have to live on the streets instead. They would rather not go back to killing innocent people. That's not funny. When you vote for somebody who spends more than all previous presidencies combined in his first year after he promised that he would balance the economy, that's not funny. If you vote for somebody who is rubbing coattails with CEOs of Coca-Cola and Google and all these other people at Bilderberg group meetings, that's not funny. When you vote for people who allow FDA heads to approve incredibly dangerous drugs so that mothers all across America lose their children to suicide, which they didn't even know was one of the side effects. That's not funny. You get what I'm saying here? This is real. I may be trying to help you provide an escape for it the vast majority of the time, but this stuff is very real. And you can't help but let some of it in. And to even open yourself up for a fraction of the pain and anguish that come as a direct consequence of the lies of the politicians and the pain that is felt by the people as a result of those lies. You can't even handle it, not even for a fraction of a second. Just dig this. Close your eyes for a second, please. Unless you're driving, of course. And think about this. There are currently 40 million people living in the United States on food stamps. Just imagine for a moment that you are 40 million families. You're connected with all of them right here, right now. You're struggling for food in 40 million towns and cities. You're struggling to pay your rent. You're struggling to get those credit cards off. Your kids don't have any shoes. You can't find enough food for them. You've got to work a job out of town. You've got to travel 4 hours there, 4 hours back. By the time you come back, you don't have any time for your children. You've got nothing to look forward to tomorrow, except a long ride there and a long ride back again. Imagine the pain of 40 million hungry mouths. Just let that in for a second. Let that sink in. And then go out and vote for somebody who will produce 20 million more. That's the pain that I feel a fraction of every now and again. And it's so overwhelming, so distressing, that suddenly I feel starving like there's insects inside my stomach gnawing at my vital organs. Like the pain is so intense that I wish that I was a stone so I don't have to feel any of this crap that's going on and happening to people all across America and around the world. And that's what they really want me to do, is to say, no, I don't want to feel any of that. I'm going to ignore all the suffering around me. I'm just going to focus on myself. I'm going to focus on the fact that I've got a nice, beautiful coffee in my hand. And then I can go out for a ciggy break afterwards. Don't think that's the way. We've got Heather from Georgia calling in. Heather, you're on the air.
Vinny, you're killing me. I was in a perfectly great mood, and then Debbie Downer over here. Usually I listen to you, so, you know, for a little upbeat attitude. What's up?
The elections. That's what's up.
I know. Okay, so I agree with you. So I went and got some tequila, and I'm partaking in some tequila in honor of the miserable evening ahead. You know, just a pack of cigarettes, too, just to boot. But I wanted to let you know that I know that the race is between douchebag and scumbag, and really, I mean, who cares who wins? But I have a theory that if Romney wins, it will help wake more people up. What do you think?
I think it's inconsequential. I think Obama's woken a lot of people up with his scumbaggery nature, and for him to be reelected would wake even more people up. And if Romney wins, then a whole bunch of people will wake up because they're going, oh no, we're not back to the right wing that we suffered 8 years of 4 years previously, and we are. I prefer this current scumbag, okay? At least he's slightly prettier, okay? Please, can we... I'm a sexy, sexy black man, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama. And I'm here to please all you ladies and urge you to vote for me because once you go black, you never go back.
Honey, uh-huh. There is nothing sexy about Obama. Are you kidding me? No way. Really? No. Romney's way sexier, but, I mean, I say way sexier. They're both, like I said, scumbag versus douchebag, ugly versus uglier. So neither one of them is sexy, but Obama is less sexy, in my opinion.
Well, there's also the power aphrodisiac element. This is something Henry Kissinger brought to fame. Henry Kissinger? The man looks like a bow repairs tire factory exploded, and he's getting more Bush than the American administration, and which they've had two, and it's extraordinary. And he says it's power. Power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. You know, the guy sounds like the Terminator. Looks like a bow repairs. Oh my God. You know, he's like the Casanova of genocide. It's extraordinary. And you have people out there who look up to these men. Okay, and generally when you're talking about sexual attraction, it's a breeding instinct. It's an instinctual thing. It's beyond that. When you look at somebody's character, when you look at their habits and things like that, that's when you start to maintain a discernment about whether or not you'd like to engage in breeding practices with this individual. And I'm sure your breeding instincts are right on the money when you say neither of them are very sexy at all. However, you think about it from somebody who has done no such analysis and is going on pure instinct alone. Just imagine that. You have no brains. You have no ears. You've only got reproductive organs. And you look at these people in a caveman-type fashion, and you look at their power. You look at the size of their club, and you think about how they're going to be able to... and you think about how they're going to be able to provide for your children, or are they going to be able to send my children to college, and those sorts of things that are not based on personality, they're based on position, right? You'd actually understand why a lot of women are actually quite taken with either of these guys.
Okay, what does Sarah think? Which poison is better? As far as that, the basic instinct goes, what does Sarah think?
I don't know what she thinks about this election. Quite frankly, I think she thinks like a lot of truthers do. A lot of truthers are kind of long in the tooth and kind of gotten bored with all of this stuff and don't really want to spend too much time on it, really, because it
I realize that, but if she were to put her dumbed down shoes on, which one does she think is more attractive?
She'd probably be a Romney girl, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, I agree with her. But anyway, so yeah, you said earlier that it was inconsequential, that either way people will wake up, either way, more, you know, maybe on one side or the other. So really, we need to be positive. We need to be happy about this situation, because either way, we're going to wake more people up, right, Benny?
Well, and here's the thing. We're all trying to wake people up. Did anybody actually wake you up? Or was it you who decided to go and watch all those documentaries and read all those articles and suddenly get a radically changed worldview based on the new information?
Yes, the latter. I was a Bush lover. I mean, you have no idea. A Bush lover. I mean, you have no idea. I told people to leave the, you know, get the fuck out. Oh, sorry. Get the F out of the country. Get the frack out of the country if they didn't like it. If they didn't love our, you know, wonderful President George Bush. I mean, no one woke me up. Of course not. No.
Well, it's because nobody could, right? Because you're so focused on your own belief that it was only your own action and your own beliefs, again, that would have woken you out of such a thing. Did somebody talk to you, or did something happen to you to make you start thinking otherwise?
Yes. Involvement with the pharmaceutical industry and the basic, you know, I have a slight issue that I was told to go to a psychiatrist, and that, you know, getting on pharmaceuticals basically woke me up. How's that for short and sweet?
Well, so, yep. There are many paths to the truth, aren't there?
Yeah.
And all roads lead to Rome.
Right. So, but actually, I think that the pharmaceutical industry is, it's fascinating to me that the legal drugs in this country have, you know, drugs, quote unquote, air quotes, have taken over when, you know, an alcohol is legal, pharmaceuticals are legal, but yet something that grows out of the ground is illegal. That's just insanity.
That's what our world is now governed by. You ever feel that you're the one sane person in the room and everybody else has just lost the plot?
Yes, of course. But you know what, Vinny, I don't want to take up too much of your time with can we just agree to be positive about no matter what happens tonight, let's be positive and let's just hope that more people wake themselves up, right?
Well, I look at it like this. I view the election outcome the same way that I heard about this white hat society who was going to arrest all the banksters and stuff like that.
Right. Sure.
When it happens, something changes, that's cool. In the meantime, it ain't over till the fat lady sings.
Yep.
And she ain't even clearing her throat yet by my reckoning. And I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, exposing scumbaggery, and exposing good people to the airwaves and to the audience, and trying to inject a little bit of humor and positivity in it. But on particular occasions, such as this, I'll feel particular ways, and I find futic for me to just go with it sometimes. If I'm feeling like crap about this election, if I'm feeling depressed about it, I get it out.
I know. It's very hard for us listeners to hear you be, you know, down. We need you to be, not to put so much pressure on you, but we need you to kind of, you know, be the I don't know. I'm sorry.
Look at it this way. Heather, look at it this way. You had the right idea with the tequila, okay? At times when you're down, bring yourself up artificially if necessary. I'm going to go have a shot, and we'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. How's that? Huh? How do you like them apples? We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're casting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. From the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation and the sunny slave South Pacific. Now, on this commemoration, I've got a couple of callers on the line, so I'm going to come to them in just a second. But firstly, I want to do something for effect. I have a shot of top shelf 100 proof vodka in my hand here. This was a bottle that was given to me by an Australian listener of mine who just came over to New Zealand, and he was going to spend like 12 hours sleeping in an airport. And I said, bro, come on. I'll come pick you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, take you over to my place. We've got a really comfy couch. You can sleep on that. And he did. And I'd like to dedicate this shot to him. And with this shot, I'm also going to, hopefully, if anybody else is out there, Heather, this means you as well, I want you to take the shot with me to drown out the madness and the scumbaggery that we are all suffering under an eternal cacophony of every day, especially today, Election Day in the United States. So on the count of three, I want you to take your shots. One, two, three. Spicy. And we're going to go to our very first call now. Area code 512. You're on the air. What's your first name, bro?
Hey, Vinny, this is Richard in the booming metropolis of Wimberley, Texas. Boy, I'm with you tonight. I'm not having 100 proof vodka. I'm on my second beer called Moose Drool, and I feel like that's a fairly adequate description of most of the people hitting the polls today in this next phase that we're moving into called the election. And I've enjoyed your show for the last couple of years, and I really am enjoying what you're doing tonight, if enjoyment is the proper word, which is not. But I really feel your mood. It's just a sad time. There's no good outcome that can possibly come out of this election process. I didn't participate myself, and don't want the blood on my hands of making either choice of the lesser of evils. And I just wanted to call and kind of commiserate with you. And while you're not maybe your usual chipper self tonight, it's a mood that I think a lot of us are feeling. And, you know, you go, boy.
Yeah. This is kind of my wood chipper self. Just kind of shredded. No, you know?
Mine is double whammied. I had a guy who's a neocon type friend who I've been in correspondence with and trying to help wake up and that kind of thing. And he's got walls around his thinking and that kind of stuff. And today came the ultimate breakup. And he's one of these folks that, you know, he has very strong opinions, but he's got no education with the underlying information. The thing that split us up today was an email I'd sent him showing a woman who'd paid her mortgage for 20 years and came on medical difficulties and was being thrown out of her house by a SWAT team. And, you know, he was all on about how he supported the SWAT team and their actions, and anybody that tried to stand in the way from of that was a criminal. And, you know, the poor injured bank, he said, and obviously has no clue about how banking or the mortgage industry works. They've got no skin in the game at all, while the woman had been making 20 years worth of mortgage payments. So who's getting screwed? And, you know, the bank's going to get all her equity and run with it to, you know, whatever next thing they'll do with it and make more money. And it's just so crooked. And you know, this guy's an intelligent guy, but he doesn't have any clue about that stuff. Yet he rails at me when I send this stuff out, you know, and it's just moose drool.
They're just getting angrier, angrier, angrier because they just don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Even notice when somebody calls you on something and you suddenly realize that you don't know what you're talking about, you go, oh, shoot, I'm sorry, I must have had it wrong. Tell me what's actually going on here? And you ask a question kind of thing for clarification so that you won't continue to be wrong. These people don't have that reaction. They have the precise opposite.
Mm. Did you see? Yeah.
They have in Parliament.
Yeah, exactly. Vinny, did you see a fairly recent thing that Luke Radowski did, We Are Change, where he was interviewing people in New York, and he was talking about the election coming up, and he was throwing all these things on Romney as though they were Romney policies, such as kill lists and you know, all the other scumbaggery that Obama has gotten up to. But he said, oh, these are Romney policies. And these Obama supporters were all going, yeah, we hate that stuff. We can't stand it. And he's talking to about six or seven different people. And then he finally says, I'm sorry, I've lied to you. I have to admit it. These are actually Obama's policies, not Romney's policies, although Romney may do them as well, and I'm not a Romney supporter. And all these people go, well, I still like Obama. He's a good man, and he may do some stuff that's not so great, but I'm still going with my man, you know. And it was just phenomenal, the stupidity that exists out there among so much of the electorate.
I think this is the reason why Winston Churchill, the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom during World War II, said the best argument against democracy is a five-minute conversation with the average voter. Richard, thank you for your call, man. I'm going to go now Tim in Wisconsin. Tim, you're on the air, my friend.
Hi.
Feeling happy today? Is it election? Are you out there with your pom-poms and fireworks?
I couldn't help feeling like the last caller started to, you know, say at first. I know that my mom thinks that the bad thing about not voting is that you know, because she says we're, you know, supposed to, you know, vote against homosexuality and abortion, and I told her that that the more I think about it, the more that just seems to me like that's looking to them in that White House to fix that stuff, when that's the sum that you know, I believe is just up to we the people to stand against ourselves. That to vote for them in that White House, is, you know, to fix that is to be looking to them to fix that. When we should be, you know, doing that is just standing up against ourselves.
Well, you know, we suffer from a complex, Tim. It's called appeal to authority.
Yeah.
When you have a look at somebody who should know better or is more well paid than you or I, and we trust them. Not only do we just trust them, we don't even question them. We let them do anything that they want, and we continue to vote for them anyway, despite the fact that we've been let down so many times before, because we're so hopeful. And so powerful is our trust that even if it's violated, it still exists and is unbreakable. It is like an unswayable loyalty to a cause of being messed around. You ever notice that, Tim? So many people, they love their enslavement, don't they? They get so passionate about things that don't matter, don't they?
Yeah, and there's no one good to vote for. You know, I can't see no one good to vote for. If there's any office of government where there may be someone good to vote for, I know that there's a criminal cabal of big rich bankers and big CEOs controlling things behind the scenes. So that we still keep just getting the same old same old crap.
Yeah, I think that's about the gist of it, Atom. Thanks for your call, bro.
Yep.
Just kind of wanted to wrap this up for you in a neat little package, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm just going to let my thoughts flow like so much vodka. We live in a world that doesn't exist. It's all hologram. It's all energy condensed to a slow vibration. It's all thoughts. It's all chance. But even though that might be the case, even though there's a possibility that we might not be being here, you know, we might be in a Matrix program for all we know, just living out our own fantasy lives. But look at it like this. Your actions do have consequences. And as Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. If you ignore these elections, I don't think that is classed as ignoring reality. Because if anything's not real, it's democracy in the United States of America. I'm Vinny Eastwood, ladies and gentlemen, the New Zealander. Seems to know more about Americans than America than a lot of Americans do, unfortunately, such is the state of the nation, such is the state of education. And I just want to let you know, even though I might be 10,000 miles away, I'm here with you. Every step of the way. You're not alone. Everybody realizes what the hell is going on here. And we're going to beat them all with a big fat freedom stick, leave them bruised and dying in a shallow grave like in Casino. This is precisely the type of treatment these lies and ideas deserve. I was talking about figuratively beating up these lies and leaving them dead in the ditch because they are no longer relevant. You, being the person who realizes this in your particular area of the world, it is now your responsibility to spread the truth as you see it and to stand up for freedom and liberty. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.